This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. Principle number 6. And that's the principle in our study of the purification of the soul and the principles that help us purify ourselves. Principle number 6. In the Arabic language, we call or we title this principle as Ighlaq al-Manafith. Ighlaq al-Manafith. From the principles of purifying ourselves is to close the doors to that which cause retrogression to affect us. Close the doors to that which cause us to stop attaining excellence. Close the doors to that which prevent us and that which affects us negatively. This is what is referred to as Ighlaq al-Manafith. Closing the doors to that which is harmful. This is from the principles of at-tazkiyah. Now, obviously, this particular principle is interpreted in different ways depending on time and place and so on and so forth, right? Everybody, depending on where they live, depending on the environment that they live in, depending on the time that they live in, will understand vices that affect the purification of the soul process, or rather pollute the soul in a way different to somebody else. So I'm going to leave this to you all to ponder. And in fact, everything I've shared with you, as I said from the beginning, are just principles. We benchmark ourselves and our situation against these principles, and as a result, try and kick in the processes that help the purification process take place. Perhaps this particular principle is more pronounced. So I don't want to sit here and list all the windows that need to be shut. Rather, you decide. You decide. But in general, understand that this is an important principle in terms of purifying the self, and that is closing the doors to all negative harm. As an example, television, for example. Television. This could be a window towards a person having their beliefs polluted, towards a person having their values polluted, be a means for a person to stop being excellent in terms of their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of their progress, could be a means for a person to start wasting time. And wasting time, again, is a means of polluting the soul rather than purifying the soul, because our Sharia came to teach us that time is important. We don't kill time. And that's why I'm amazed by those who, you know, some people say, look, let's do this and just kill some time. And I say, subhanAllah, only a mad person wants to kill time. But that's a discussion for another day, right? So our Sharia teaches us that we should look after time. It's extremely valuable. We need all the seconds that Allah has given us to build our Jannah, to dig those streams for in Jannah, to build those forests in Jannah, to build our palaces in Jannah. So for example, television might be a means, might be. I'm sharing with you an example. Towards retrogression entering the life of a person. And had he closed the window by not placing the TV in the home, or for example, having the TV only with beneficial channels on it, then that harm wouldn't have affected him. This is important. Ighlaq al-manafidh, or taking these preventative measures and closing the window so that retrogression does not enter through it, could happen in the form of parents checking over their children, checking over the friends that they make, checking over, especially in this day and age, their social media activity. What friends, I mean, who are the friends that they have on their Facebook page, for example, or their Twitter page? What's happening with their emails, for example? And brothers and sisters, and especially mothers and fathers, this is not from, you know, having no trust in your children. Sometimes when I say this to the parents, they say, well, then, you know, that means we don't trust our kids. And my answer to that, my dear brothers and sisters, is it's not about not trusting your kids. Of course, we trust our children. But we don't trust Shaytan. We don't trust Shaytan. If you don't monitor the situation, that's as if you're saying, and I can throw that back at you and say that's as if you're saying that you trust Shaytan. Right? So it's not a matter of not trusting your kids. At the end of the day, Allah put innocent children in our lives. And when the child is born, and the first glance happens between the child and the parent, a message is actually shared. And that message is the child telling the parent that, my dear mother and my dear father, I never had a choice in who my parents would be. Allah has put me in your care and entrusted me in your hands.
All I ask from you is to do right by me. This is what the child is saying. So when we are taking precautions and closing the windows that harm could come through, this is not mistrust, this is not a case that we don't trust our children, this is a case that we trust them, rather we don't trust shaitan. At the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed us from the wombs of our mothers whilst we knew nothing. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. Allah removed us from the wombs of our mothers whilst we knew nothing. So it's the parents' job to teach. A lot of the time today, my dear mothers and fathers, and this is not a parenting talk, but just as an example to the point that we're discussing right now. A lot of the time we give our children things, but we don't teach them how to use it. We gave them the internet, never taught them the harms, right? We gave them vehicles, never taught them the harms. We gave them technology, we never taught them the harms. And the nature of a child's mind is that it won't remain empty. If we don't fill it, the TV will fill it for us. The internet will fill it for us. Right? The environment outside of the home, which is not as protected as the environment of the home, will fill it for us. So it's either we fill it or someone else will do the filling. And this is how life is, my dear parents. So when it comes to, for example, talking, you know, when we talk about bringing purification into the home, then definitely, you know, monitoring our children and their behavior and what they watch and so on and so forth is vital, right? And that's why I said we're not going to discuss every circumstance. I'm going to share with you principles. So be comprehensive in how you ponder over this particular point. The point of إغلاق المنافذ and closing the window, those windows that harm would come through, blocking all the entrances, just like in our computer, we put up firewalls to block viruses coming in, right? So the same should be done with ourselves. This might entail changing our friends. This might entail removing the television if need be. Sometimes we have a weakness. There's good channels on TV and there's bad channels, and we have a weakness. We end up watching that which wastes our time and causes retrogression to enter our life. In that case, دَرْءُ الْمَفْسَدَ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَى جَلْبِ الْمَصْلَحَةِ. This is a principle in the Sharia, that preventing a harm takes precedence over the attainment of a benefit. If you have benefit in this TV, with regards to some Islamic channels or some documentaries, educational documentaries and so on and so forth that benefit you, but there's harmful content as well and you spend your time watching this harmful content, then the Sharia tells us get rid of the entire process. Even though there's benefit, but preventing a harm takes precedence over the attainment of a benefit. And by the way, there's many other ways that we can attain benefit through reading and so on and so forth, right? So at the end of the day, look after yourself. Look after yourself. A lot of the time, and this is true, you know, perhaps, you know, we've gone through this discussion and a lot of you have felt that what's being said is something you've heard before, is something that you know. And I don't deny that this is true. I mean, as I've said time and time again, that the matters I'm sharing with you is common sense. But I think a lot of the time we know things, but we don't put it into practice. And this goes down to the methodology of bringing a valuable habit in your life. The specialists say to make a habit constant in your life or to bring about a habit in your life, there's three things that have to be present. One is knowledge, the other is skill, and the third, which is the most important thing, is desire. And I think this is where we lack. This is where we lack. It's the desire. It's the want to change. The desire to change. We know something's wrong. That's knowledge. We have the skill to prevent that harm, right? In changing our friends if need be. Right, in making amendments in the home if need be, and so on, changing our environments if need be. We have the knowledge, we have the skill rather, but we lack desire. Desire is the issue. And that's why, brothers and sisters, I spoke to you earlier about al-ilm al-nafi', beneficial knowledge is that which is put into practice. And as you listen to the series, ask yourself about your desire. How much do you want it? It shouldn't be this was nice to hear and I felt good listening to it. And inshallah, that's the case. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless my words and bless you all for lending me your attentive ear. But my happiness really would be in the development of your desire to change and you actually changing. And this is what is needed, especially in this ummah of action, this ummah of activeness, this ummah of proactiveness. We're not an ummah that just sits back and we become armchair critics. This was good, that wasn't good, the speaker was exciting, that speaker wasn't, this speech enticed me and kept me interested, and that didn't. At the end of the day, our love should be to hear everything that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and if he said it, then our love should be in implementing it. And this is true to loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We shouldn't be deceived by shaitan, my dear brothers and sisters, where shaitan, you know, shaitan, he has a PhD in deception. He has a PhD in taking us to Jahannam. I mean, you might laugh when I'm saying this, but he has a PhD in strategic management. I don't think any of the managers today, no matter how successful their businesses are, have this type of strategic degree. Shaitan can put us in a sense of comfort that we are purified. And this can happen, brothers and sisters. May Allah protect us. You know, where we're doing things and it's become beautified for us, even though it's wrong, it's taking us to the hellfire. And we're comfortable about it because it's been beautified for us. May Allah protect us and protect us from this test. We must audit ourselves and ask ourselves about that which we're doing. Shaitan sometimes beautifies things for us and puts us in a sense of comfort and we feel we're okay. For example, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaitan beautifies, for example, our activity, and it's activity, and I'm not saying it's not an act of worship and that Allah won't reward us, Allah will reward us. But our activity, for example, in going on Twitter and participating in those hashtags, I love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, or who was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, and this is all good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us, inshaAllah. But that is not as important as following Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. True support to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happens by following him. Yes, support happens by engaging those Twitter hashtags and getting on Facebook and producing those posters and releasing those messages and messaging our WhatsApp groups and so on and so forth. However, that is important. However, this is more important. Following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sometimes shaitan puts us in this false sense of calm and security that you've done this, you're okay. And the major things we're leaving, following his sunnah, we have bid'ah in our life and so on and so forth. There's a lot of factors that entail retrogression in our home, that if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indeed was to knock our door, we wouldn't be comfortable opening our door because we wouldn't want him seeing that these things exist in our home. But shaitan puts us in a state of oblivion. It's around us, but we don't realize that it's harmful. And shaitan, to keep us there, he gives us small wins, or smaller wins, should I say. As I said, I'm not saying supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every other way is not important. But shaitan allows us to engage those means so that we forget what's priority and we forget what is greater. So ighlaq al-manafit is very important, or closing the door to anything that can bring retrogression in our life. Or should I say it even more simply, closing the door to that which shaitan can use to shift us and take us the wrong way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Ameen. Ponder over these words, my dear brothers and sisters, my dear mothers and fathers, especially this particular principle, ighlaq al-manafidh. Have a few moments with yourself and ask yourself in your life, what are those windows, or where are those windows that require shutting? Make note of it, and put a plan in action that will allow you over the course of the upcoming days and weeks and months to close those doors and inshallah become a better person. Because as we said in the previous principle, purification entails at-takhliya, which is removing the impurities, and that happens as well by leaving sin as well as istighfar. I love you all for the sake of Allah. May Allah purify us and gather us in the highest Jannah and make us neighbors to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.